This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By CTI Tech, bringing 1 gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. It is the second round of the football playoffs, and there are some fantastic matchups around the listening area today. And it looks like the weather is going to be very nice to go out and take in some high school football. In Class 2A, Maroa Forsyth will be at Auburn. 50 and Oakwood will be at Pena. The Auburn game kicks at 1:30. The Pena game will kick at 1. In 3A, Mount Carmel travels to Vandalia. That is a fascinating matchup for sure. 2 o'clock kick there. Williamsville is hosting DeCoin. Also a 2 o'clock kick. Beardstown will be at Q&D also at 2 o'clock. We'll be talking with Auburn head coach Dave Bates and Williamsville head coach Aaron Kuntz coming up later on in the hour here on Sports Saturday. In 1A today, Greenfield Northwestern will be at Arcola. Athens is at Camp Point Central. Those will be 2 o'clock kicks. Carrollton will be at Argenta Orienta for a 1 o'clock start today. In the 3A, you know, Breeze Modern Day is at Fairfield. That's 4 o'clock today. It's just interesting because Modern Day and Fairfield just played last night in the volleyball super sectional, won by Modern Day. So that just seems odd. Not that it's never happened, and maybe it's happened more than I think it has happened, but for two teams to meet in the volleyball super one night, play in the second round of the football playoffs the next day, that just seems like a pretty odd turn of events, if you ask me, but what do I know about it? In 4A, Columbia will be at Prairie Central. That's a 2 o'clock kick. Murfreesboro will be hosting IBC at 3. Benton will be at Effingham at 3 o'clock. 5A today, Rochester is at Highland. That's a 3 o'clock kick. Triad at Griffin, a 2 o'clock kick. Mount Zion will be at Joliet Catholic for a 2 o'clock kick. In 6A, Glenwood will be hosting Lamont at 2. East St. Louis travels to Rock Island at 1 o'clock. And in 8A, Edwardsville will be at Manuka. That'll be a 4 o'clock kick. So I told you we'll have Aaron Kuntz and Dave Bates on the program today. Also, we're going to catch up with our buddy Dave Kane later on in the hour here on WSMI Sports Saturday. There's no better guy to talk to when you get in, well, anytime. But when you're into postseason play, Dave's the man. He's just got, has always had his finger on the pulse. I call him the small school guru because he knows it all. So respected across multiple spectrums. It would be great to catch up with our buddy Dave Kane later on here in the hour. We got Chad East today with us. Always good to talk to Chad. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing all right, and obviously no film to watch. So do you go into like some sort of like non-football depression when your season is over?
No, I go through another day. The worst day is, to be honest with you, is the day after, and then after that it gets better every day. You know, it's a shell shock of nothing to do, no film to prep, as you said, no depth charts, injury reports, getting kids where they need to be. So, you know, it gets better every day after that. So I don't want to say it's bad or good, but I always tell our seniors on the opening day, it's the craziest thing in the world because coaches get to do this every year. Yeah. Guys like you and me, we get to experience the highs, the lows, and then we always get to say, and a month later, hey, we got next season to look forward to. So I always, my heart goes out to those seniors that don't because, you know, that worked out. But anyway, no, I've recovered. I think I'm going to go to Vandalia today to watch conference opponent play, and hopefully they can get a win over there too.
Well, Chad, it's interesting that I was going to ask you about that later on, but I'll ask you about it right now. Obviously, you played Vandalia, you played Mount Carmel last week, so you have a good feel for both of these teams. What kind of ball game are you expecting?
I tell you what, I think it'll be a great ball game. It'll be a great atmosphere over there. You know, both teams back up on paper really well. It'll be interesting to see if Vandalia can move the football on there, because that's what impressed me the most about Mount Carmel. You know, we gave them 14 points, I think, so I'll at least kudos us for that. But we struggled moving the ball, and their defense is stout, and I think they're well coached. I think Vandalia's got to move the football, and Vandalia's just fine.
Talking about that game last week, it started so well. You got the early turnover. You picked up a first down right away, and then a holding penalty kind of set you guys back. And from that point, as you said, you just had trouble moving the ball.
Yeah, you know, it's I hate to be simple with it, but when you can't block their interior three with five, then the mathematical equation gets pretty hard pretty quick, and we had to go to some schemes that had to double people, and then we just couldn't make it happen. And then, you know, the second quarter just pretty much defines our season. We were good. Our kids were good, and we always make one or two mistakes, and those mistakes can't be critical ones. And they happened to be that last week. And, you know, then we got behind the eight ball and couldn't get it back. So I was proud of our kids. Our effort was there. We held them 7-0 in the second half. So, you know, those types of things I think are taken. You move on from there.
Yeah, that second quarter, it was like the old blitzkrieg because, you know, they scored in the last play of the first quarter. And then, as you mentioned, that second quarter, it all happened so fast. And it seemed to me, Chad, you guys were in the backfield defensively making plays. And then once Caleb Appleby, that big old quarterback, once he had that first run up the middle, that really seemed to kind of change the momentum of the game.
Yeah, we kept him under wraps and kept him under wraps, and then we couldn't do it anymore. So we had to change some fronts and had to play a little bit more man covers than we probably wanted to, and we got exposed a few times there. So, you know, that's part of the chess match. We knew he was a great player, and I talked to all their opponents that they had played, and they all said the same thing. Don't let the film mislead you. He's not this big, tall, lanky kid that can't play. He's a big, tall kid that's athletic, and they were right. He is.
You don't see many high school quarterbacks, you know, at the small school level that are 6'7", 230. That's a different type of skill set.
You know it is, and when I loaded the bus on the way back with Coach Cooper and Coach Steiner, we were the ones on the charter bus, and they said, you know, he kind of reminded me a little bit of Job Easterday, but a little faster, and I said, yes, it's exactly correct. One of those guys that will never beat you, but will always kill you, and he just, when you wanted him on the ground the most, we couldn't get him on the ground, so, you know, it is what it is. It's high school football, so.
And Chad, it was an interesting year for you guys in so many respects. We talked throughout the year the pressure that this group felt from the outside. They did a good job of handling that, I thought, as the year went along. And sometimes, you know, a year is not defined by just wins and losses, but it gets defined by the character of the kids. And you had a high character group this year.
I couldn't have said it any better than that right there. So we talked about it. I mean, this group will go down. I always tell them what mark will they leave, and they've left one that they don't even know, that you won't know for 4 or 5 years from now. When you look back at the history of it all, and everyone will assume that maybe it was a dip, and it really wasn't. It was a group of guys that did everything possible within the realm of what they could do and allowed us to coach them and end up in the playoffs, which is the goal of every team every year, and it just hasn't been our goal personally the last couple of years. You know, we were wanting to go to the state title, and I think every coach wants to do that every year, and not very many get to go every year. So you know how that works out. So I'm super proud of them, and, you know, I just can't tell you what they mean. And they talked about hard work and character and all those things that, you know, are great qualities.
You know, Colton DeLong had a great year for you. He got a lot of press. But the guy that always stood out to me, even going back to last year, was Ramey Lewis. This guy played a lot of big football games for you.
Yeah, he did. You know, he was one of those kids that, you know, depth chart 2 years ago got caught a break because someone got injured, I believe, a couple of years ago. So he got some snaps as a sophomore. That usually doesn't happen in our program very much. And then all of a sudden, his sophomore and junior year really developed. He got to play on, like you said, some pretty big teams and some pretty big atmospheres. And leadership-wise, took care of those things. So, you know, it's guys like him and Colton and Michael Byatt and some Christian Griffiths and those front five that have willing to set the tone. And, you know, they're what Carnival football is made of. So, you know, in two more weeks, we're going to start the weight room, and we'll be right back at it.
Well, I was just going to mention that, Chad. I know the last couple of years you pushed your off-season stuff back a little bit just because of the deep runs and all the games you were playing. But this year, right back into it sounds like.
Oh, the 2 weeks off will kill me. I'm ready to go today. So, I think there is, I've talked to a lot of great coaches. There is some stuff to say. Hey, get basketball started. Let's get this going. Kids need a break. Coaches need a break. But December 1st rolls around. We got a test period that we do in the weight room, and then we'll have 2 weeks worth of Christmas break. So it'll be a good little transition for us.
Sounds good. Chad, we always appreciate your time throughout the year, sir. I'd say enjoy the off season. I don't know that you will, but we look forward to following the Cavaliers next year.
I tell you what, the off season is the off season. If I can keep Coach Porcini off me at McDonald's in the morning and talking X's and O's, I tell you what, I love it. So thanks a lot for the coverage this year, guys. Appreciate
all right.
It.
Thank you very much. Chad Easton, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers. You heard him say he'll probably wind up in Vandalia today to watch the Vandals and Mount Carmel. That's going to be a heck of a ball game, and it will kick off at 2 o'clock today in Vandalia. We need to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more playoff football following these messages on Sports Saturday.
How many more times will I screw up before the show is over? Well, we'll find out. But right now, we're back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Oh, it happens, David.
The hour's young.
I'll set the over under at 1.5. I have faith in you. You always got to have the half on the over under.
You have faith in me to screw up.
Well, of course, David.
Of course.
It's live radio. I set my over under at 3.5. So you know what?
Yeah.
You're better off than I.
So okay, I'm not going to bet on it because I don't want to. It's me that has to do it.
Well,
so.
David has a bad track record of betting with me.
Yes, I do.
He always loses.
Yes, I do. It's specifically.
I've got a signed dollar bill.
Yeah.
Here in the radio
that
station.
That was a really bad one.
That was a bad one. David had, I don't know what he was thinking, but he actually thought years ago when Notre Dame and Alabama played in the championship, he thought Notre Dame had a chance.
I was betting with David. What I hoped would happen.
Oh, David. So I got a signed dollar bill, and I made him inscribe it with Roll Tide.
When Eddie Lacy came out there with like half a jersey on, I was like, this isn't good.
This is no good.
This is no good.
And then he decided to bet me some sub sandwiches last year that the Illini team was going to make a bowl game.
Yeah,
that didn't work out for
I
him.
Said this year before that I thought they would again this year.
Did you make the bet this year?
I did not.
You did not. No, you didn't. And it looks like they're going to make a bowl this year.
Yep.
But you didn't make the bet.
I almost, but you let me out of it, bet Bryce Harper to the Cardinals in the offseason, too.
I did let you out of that. I was feeling sorry for you.
Yeah. I don't remember why I ended up getting out of that, but I think it was.
Because I was a nice guy, David.
Yeah. I lost too many sandwiches.
You lost too many sandwiches. Your kids need those sandwiches. Yeah. I don't need those sandwiches.
Yeah. The rich get richer. And Tim gets fuller.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So as we continue our talk here about the football playoffs, you know, last week there weren't a lot of upsets. You know, you look at 1A, Forest and a 9 beat an 8, Orangeville a 10 beat a 7, Stockton an 11 beat a 6. That was it in terms of the seeds. Everybody else that was supposed to win won. No 5-4 teams alive at all in 1A. 2A, Auburn was the only road team to win. They went to Chester and shut out Chester 19-0, so they get to host Maroon Forsyth today. That game will kick at 1:30 in Auburn. So you got all the power teams still alive and kicking in 2A. Not many upsets in 3A either. When, 8-9, I don't necessarily consider that an upset, but you had number 9 Spring Valley Hall win, and then you had number 9 Quincy Notre Dame beat number 8 Greenville. You know, by the seed, that's an upset, but 8-9, 7-10, not really upsets. Other than that, in 3A, all the top seeds moved on to the second round. 4A saw 4 higher seeds win. You had, this is probably the big one, a 4-5 team, Chicago Urban Prep Bronzeville, a 15 seed, beat previously unbeaten Richmond Burton, and they blew them out 56-6. So that's probably the biggest quote unquote upset in the entire postseason in all 8 classes last week. And then Murfreesboro a 9 beat CM an 8. Kewanee Bishop McNamara, the 12 seed, they beat Paris. That's not really an upset though when Bishop McNamara beats anybody. Then Fairbury Prairie Central, a 10 seed, moved on. That was the only upsets in terms of 4A. With the seeds. A few more in 5A. You did have a 5-4 Oak Park Fenwick team win in the first round. They will be taking on Country Club Hills today. That's a 12-5. Then you had a 10-7. Joliet Catholic again, a 9-seed, never an upset when they beat anybody. Muscuda, a 12-5 beat Carbondale. Highland, a 10-7 beat Cahokia. And then Triad, a 14 seed, they beat Marion last week, and then SHG, an 11 seed, but that's not an upset when Griffin wins a playoff game. So there hasn't been a whole lot in terms of the upsets. Just two of the higher seeds in 6A won. Lake Forest, they're into the quarterfinals. They won last night over Maple Park Caneland. They entered 5-4, a 14 seed, and they are now in the 6A state quarterfinals. Rock Island, a 9 seed, won last week, so they get to host East St. Louis today. You look at 7A, again, just not much. At the bottom of the bracket saw some big upsets. 27 seed Downers Grove North beat a 6 seed. 22 seed Wheaton Warrensville South beat McChesney Park, an 11 seed. So you got a 27 versus a 22 in the bottom half of the 7A bracket. We're happy now to be joined by our good buddy, Dave Kane. Haven't talked to Dave for a while. Always great to catch up with him. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Tim, how's it going, sir?
Hey, we're doing very well here. Unfortunately for us, all of our teams that we cover bounced out in the first round of the playoffs. But, man, there's still a lot of area teams still alive and kicking. And what are some of the games that have your attention this week?
Oh, you know, it's only round two, but it's round two. I think, you know, I mean, up here, you know, in the immediate Springfield area, obviously, you know, kind of a rematch of, you know, Auburn and Moroa Forsyth in Class 2A. That, you know, I think Moroa won the previous matchup in Week 9, 28-14. So I think Auburn feels like they might be an underdog, but they still feel like they can, you know, they can play with Moroa. In Class 1A, Athens has a western trip over to Camp Point Central. I think that could be a really good matchup. Camp Point's only loss came to Beardstown in the regular season. So two very good, you know, kind of running type teams there. Williamsville in 3A, of course, this afternoon hosts, DuCoin in Class 3A. Those teams met in the first round last year and Williamsville won pretty handily, but it's always DuCoin, so, you know, there's always that tradition there. I guess, you know, there's Pena, of course, takes on 50 in Oakwood today. I like the Panthers' chances, in 2A. And, you know, the larger schools, there's at least the potential for another Leonard Bowl. if both Sacred Heart Griffin and Rochester would win today, it would be the first time that they have met in the playoffs, if Rochester and SHG, since, you know, until this year, Rochester was always 4A. Right. So there's, you know, there's some anticipation there. And, you know, in Class 6A, Chatham Glenwood, you know, they're undefeated. They're taking on a Lamont team that's, I believe, 8-2, but Lamont was very impressive in beating Springfield High in Week 1. So that game at Chatham this afternoon, I think, could be a really good ball game, because Lamont's pretty battle tested with the schedule they've played.
And you mentioned the potential Leonard Bowl. I don't imagine that they're looking forward to that. Playing in the regular season is one thing, but sending your son home or sending your dad home, that's a different thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, they. I think Derek Leonard made the comment maybe before the pairings came out, something effective. I hope I don't have to see dad anytime soon. Mm. Well, and it, again, they would both have to win today. You know, you can't assume anything.
Right.
But, you know, Rochester goes down to Highland, and Triad comes up to SHG, to, you know, Mississippi Valley teams. And I think SHG and Rochester, just based on history and other things, I think they both have to be considered favorites this afternoon. So yeah, I don't think the Leonard clan, anytime they play each other, it's something they don't really look forward to. But boy, if it's a playoff situation, that's another ball of wax there.
The Sangamo Conference went 4-1 last week, and the one loss was a 5-4 North Mac team, giving an unbeaten Vandalia team all they wanted in that opening round. So, you know, the Sangamo, we know that year in, year out, this is a league that makes deep postseason runs, and we know Williamsville is primed. Moroa Forsyth, Auburn, the winner of that game, could very well be primed for a deep run. And when I saw the brackets come out, the pairings, Dave, and I saw Athens in 1A, that just jumped out to me like they could be a big problem in Class 1A this year.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, in recent years they've been, I guess you'd say, a problem. I think a couple of years ago they made it to the semis. I think they lost to Tuscola. Several years ago, Athens had a co-op with a very small nearby school, Greenview, and I think a lot of years that was just enough to nudge Athens up to 2A. But they do not have that co-op now, and that's kept them 1A. And, yeah, I mean, in a way, it's like a smaller school version of Rochester. You know, Rochester is really battle-tested regular season when they play in the Central State 8. And then, well, until this year anyway, they played in 4A. And Athens really the same thing. You know, they play in a very tough Sangamo Conference against some very good 2A and 3A teams. And, now they're in the 1A playoffs. And, yeah, I keep thinking one of these years Athens is going to break through in 1A and get, well, to either to DeKalb or to Champaign. And, they're very strong offensively with their running game, but they're very good defensively, too. They really get after you. And, if they do win today, I'm maybe drawing a little bit of a blank on who they would play in the next round. But I think a potential semifinal, if Athens got that far, could be, against Central A&M, who's, I think, still undefeated. So that could be quite a semifinal. But yeah, this maybe this will be the year where Athens finally breaks through.
If Athens wins today, they would get either Carrollton or Jacinto Orellana in the quarterfinals
right. Next
week.
So. Okay, right,
and,
right.
You mentioned that eventually you hope that they break through. It reminds me a little bit of Greenville for a number of years ago where they kept knocking on that door. And unfortunately for the Comets, they were never able to knock that door down. But generally, when you continue to give yourself opportunity, at some point the ball is going to bounce your way.
Yeah, I mean, you just think, you hate to say law of averages, but I mean, you think that you give yourself enough chances, in all those years that kind of build up, I know coaches talk about this. If you make some deep playoff runs, you get those extra practices in that, the young players kind of benefit from them. So if that happens often enough, sooner or later, that opportunity is finally going to really be there. And, I've said it, we said maybe this is Athens' turn. Athens and Pleasant Plains are kind of similar. They both started their football programs. I can't even remember now, but it's been maybe 10, 12, 13 years ago. So, both of those programs have kind of evolved and Plains, of course, made it to a state title game a couple of years ago. And, I think Athens is very close. Maybe this could be their year.
Dave, I don't know how close you've been following the eight-man football this year, but I know when Pawnee decided to go eight-man, there was a little bit of apprehension. It sounds, eight-man, it's not the same, it's not real football. That was some of the stuff you heard. But the more people see it, the more the kids play it, they love it.
Yeah, and Pawnee is, in the eight-man playoffs today, I think they go up to Flanagan for a second-round game, and that's a rematch. I think Flanagan beat Pawnee in a very close game early in the season. I think like you said, that initial reaction, I remember talking to the Pawnee coaches and some players before the start of the season, and they all kind of agreed that, initially it's like, playing eight-man football, that's, it's like you're lowering yourself, not playing 11-man football. But it's competition. It's good competition. It's tough competition. And I think, it's allowed Pawnee to, still, I guess you'd say, play under that Pawnee banner and maybe not have to, technically maybe they do have still co-op with Lincolnwood, and I'm not sure how many Lincolnwood kids they have. But basically it allows the small schools to still, kind of play under their own banner or their own nickname or whatever you want to say, and without having to, go to another nearby school. So I think it's great. Pawnee's had a successful year. They might be slight underdogs on the road today, but I think they at least they have a good chance. So it's been good to see. And I maybe you might agree with me. I don't know. I think eight man football is maybe a growing trend. We might see more schools go that route in the coming years.
I absolutely agree with that, and it's only going to grow. And along that line, Dave, I don't think the A-man had anything to do with it. But boy, the playoff point total was low this year, a lot lower than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah, and what I followed the pairings. Well, what was the
29?
What did it take to get in? 29. That is, yeah. I knew it was low, and I couldn't remember the exact number. That is, yeah. I don't know if that's the lowest they've ever had since they've gone to that system. It's gotta be very close. Yeah, and I don't know if, like you said, you know, maybe a few more. I think it's a total of 16 Illinois schools this mm-hmm. year have played eight-man football. So I don't know if there's, you know, maybe kind of a domino effect there at all that's, you know, maybe opened up more spots and allowed the teams to, you know, allowed them to go down to a lower point total. But that is very unusual.
And that might have been what bumped Rochester to 5A. I think one kid was the difference between Rochester being 4A and 5A, and maybe some of those eight-man teams that would have been 1A schools, maybe that wound up being the difference for Rochester getting bumped up to 5A. Dave, I heard them say they kind of played it off like, yeah, we thought this was going to happen. Did they actually think it was going to happen, or were they just, when it came out, like, okay, we're 5A, no looking back?
Yeah, well, I know in the weeks leading up to the playoff pairings, I think because of the Chicago Public League situation, there was, you know, speculation that because, you know, a certain number of public league teams that normally would have been in the playoffs, that was going to open up some more spots, and that Rochester might go 5A. There was more of a feeling, and then when it got closer, well, they might be 4A. So like you said, it ended up being, at least the way the assignments turned out, it was just their enrollment figure, just one student. It was probably that one kid who moved in at the last minute.
Right.
Boy, you know? I guess for a Rochester, it's not as big a deal as it would be for some because of the conference they play in. I mean, yes, they have always been 4A for the playoffs, but, you know, going up to 5A, given the schedule they play, it's not as big of a jolt as it might be for some schools and some programs.
Dave, it's always great to talk to you. I miss reading you in that paper, but I know you're still a busy man. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I'm doing a little bit of stuff part time for WFMB, you know, Sports Radio 1450. Mm-hmm. I sit in with a fellow named Larry Tate on Tuesdays. We have a call in show, and I've also been helping out with it's the 1450.com group crew who do an amazing job with videos and all kinds of stuff. But on Thursday mornings, we get together and do, it's on Facebook Live. We do essentially a pick'em type thing. During the regular season, we did Sangamo and CSA, and now for the playoffs, we've also done, you know, games involving Sangamo and CSA teams. So that's you know, kind of kept me busy. And in the not too distant future, it's kind of a long, complicated story, but I may be able to come back and do a few, as we call it, correspondent or part-time type coverage for the State Journal Register if things work out. So that would be, you know, still keep my hand in it, so to speak. But in the meantime, you know, I'm still kind of, I still have some feelers out, just maybe looking for something else on a full-time basis. There's a few possibilities out there. I'm not in a huge rush. So it's been an interesting fall. It's certainly been different. I've been to watch some games, but it's not quite the same. And I miss the people that I've dealt with over the years. I miss my coworkers and things like that. But life, as they say, life goes on. So we'll see what happens.
You're the best, Dave. Love talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, and I know we shared a little note earlier this morning for any Cardinal fans. This is a special day.
Yes.
November 9th is a shared birthday for both Bob Gibson and Whitey Herzog. So
what are the odds of that?
Yeah, I know. I think Whitey is 88 today, and Bob Gibson is 84. And I know we know Bob Gibson is having some mm-hmm. pretty serious health problems, and, you know, I'm sure all Cardinal fans are sending their sending their best wishes and their prayers to him. But, yeah, two legends, both born on November 9th, so that's pretty cool.
That's good stuff. Dave Kane, thanks for giving us your time this morning, sir.
Okay, Tim, take care.
All right, Dave Kane, just love talking to Dave Kane. And we also love talking to Dan Newkirk. He has straggled in. I assume he brought the equipment back from his broadcast season. I assume that's what brought you in today?
Yes, unfortunately, things are getting turned in, and as we put the fall radio season to bed, unfortunately. But, boy, what a interesting, great game I saw.
If you're going to go out, Dan, you might as well go out with the type of game you and Gary Boker had last week. 7-0 the final. Vandalia clipped North Mac. And just tell us a little bit about this ball game. What a battle.
It really was. And you talked earlier about how Pawnee's heading up to Flanagan as an underdog on the road. You know, we were really anticipating that with North Mac coming to Vandalia. Vandalia averaged well over 40 points a game all season long. Everybody in the area who's seen them play, just their offensive weapons are tremendous. And North Mac had kind of an up-and-down season. We had the opportunity to see them two times before that. It was the third time that we had them for the radio. And we'd seen good and bad out of them. They had some injury issues and had guys missing throughout the season. And then things kind of came together at the right time. The Coach Bowman's really had them they were healthy. They had a young man out there with almost a club on one hand, playing with, I think, still a broken hand, but out there just being a very defensive presence. But neither team could really get anything going offensively. And we really believed we were looking at a 0-0 tie overtime.
That is rare.
We thought that's what we were going to be looking at, and Vandalia really got a nice break to get the field position they got that led to the score. But every break was going North Mac's way. They had a punt blocked that went over 60 yards. The kid got a good hand on it. It was a clear and obvious block, but it created a forward spin on the ball. Well, the punt returner from Vandalia started celebrating early and running the sideline because they blocked the punt.
Oops.
And the ball rolled straight down the middle of the field. And that was kind of a microcosm of the luck and the good breaks that North Mac had there going away, along with some really, really good defensive play out of the Panthers.
You go to Vandalia and you hold the Vandals to 7 points. You expect we're going to win that game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and they just could not. The struggles that Vandalia did have on defense due to good play by North Mac, some great defensive pass. The pass coverage was some of the best I've seen in a high school football game on both sides in a very long time. The North Mac defensive backs really did a great job of defending the Vandalia receivers. But the defense of Vandalia really stood up too. North Mac's effort was really, really good, but I thought Vandalia's effort was excellent. Just really played tough, tough defense, keeping their offense, giving them a chance. And finally, when they got a nice break at the end and got some decent field position, they were able to score and go ahead in the game. But just a really interesting game. We weren't sure, you know, with the offensive firepower that Vandalia had, if we wouldn't see a running clock in the second half at some point. We thought it was maybe a possibility. But, you hate to end your season on a loss, but I think that it was something that the North Mac players, parents, you know, once the shock of the loss and the end of the season settled, they had to feel very, very good about the effort they made, because it was really an outstanding game.
And I don't know, I mean, a loss is a loss. You always hate to lose. But I don't know if it's worse to lose a game like that, 7-0, or lose just a good old-fashioned shootout. No, like a shootout.
Oh, okay.
Like lose by one score, but it's like, you know, 55-52,
ooh,
where it's like, oh, we just needed one stop, opposed to losing 7-0. It's like, man, just one score. A loss, maybe there's no difference, but I would think one has to just hurt a little bit more than the other.
And it did. And Vandalia had some opportunities. They were inside the red zone a couple of times. They had a fumble inside the five that North Mac took over, was able to get the ball out enough to punt it away, to kind of flip the field on them a little bit. Vandalia had a couple opportunities that they did not capitalize on. And, you know, whether they didn't capitalize or North Mac just didn't allow them to, you know, could be argued for quite some time. But they had some opportunities, Vandalia did, to get on the board early. They missed a couple of field goals. They missed two field goals in the game that, you know, in a 7-0 game, you know, that's 6 points that they left on the field that could have made a difference. really just a great game.
And who knows what will happen today in Vandy when they take on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is a very good club, but a lot of times when a team makes a deep playoff run, they have a game, survive a game, like Vandalia did last week. Who knows how it'll shake out? But
yeah, you don't. And I'm sure Coach Clay all week said we can't look past these kids. They're 5-4. But at 5-4 in the Sangamo Conference, yes, let's take a look who their four losses are. Williamsville, Monroe Forsyth, Auburn, you know, they're against some very battle-tested playoff caliber teams. You know, we can't look past, but these are 16, 17-year-old kids. You know, and I'm sure they had their eyes on, you know, potentially a rematch with Carlinville, mm-hmm. Or, you know, a traditional powerhouse in Mount Carmel. And it's easy. You tell the kids, don't look past this team. We got to get through week one before we get to play week two. So I'm not sure we got, you know, we'll see this week. Let's see what Vandalia does this week. I think this is going to be a game that they're a little bit more focused for and ready for, and maybe see a little bit more of that Vandalia team we've seen all season.
Yeah,
I hope.
Thanks for your great work this year. You and Gary did a fantastic job on our football coverage for WSMI this year. Thank you very much for that. We need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. We still have interviews with Aaron Kuhns of Williamsville and Dave Bates of Auburn. Those conversations coming up when Sports Saturday rolls on. We're happy to be joined now by Auburn head football coach Dave Bates as the Trojans get set to take on the Trojans of Monroe Forsyth in the second round of the 2A playoffs. And Dave, I guess, thoughts on facing a conference foe here in the second round?
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that most people don't like, you know, but unfortunately sometimes, especially later in the rounds, you know, that could happen. I mean, it's unfortunate that it's in the second round. This is probably a quarterfinal, mm-hmm. semifinal game. So, but it is what it is. We played them week 9 and played well. We lost, but, you know, we kind of felt like we did some good stuff, so we'll see how it goes.
And it's not like that game was in week 1. So with it being that recent, how much can you take from that contest?
Oh, I think you could take quite a bit because, they were doing what they felt like they needed to do to win, and we were doing the same. So it wasn't like we were holding tons of things back probably. So, you know, it's good. It's good, and I guess the one good thing is we didn't have to do a lot of preparation because we already had it ready to go on week 9. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
As you look back at that week 9 game, couple of things that need to change to come out on the victorious side.
Well, I think defensively we gave up a couple of big plays that they capitalized on, scored on. And offensively, we really controlled the game a lot, especially in the first half. You know, we had a 20-play drive, but their defense is really solid, and we weren't able to have any, you know, big play, any chunk play. And I think that's something that we need to maybe do in this game, have a big play on offense. The Du Bois kid, he ran for 140-some yards in that game. But he had 40 carries, and so, you know, we were getting yardage, we were moving the ball, but we weren't, getting the big play, which I think helps in a big game like this.
And, I mean, yeah, you get into a game like this, ball control, taking care of the ball go a long way.
No, that was part of our game plan. We did keep the ball out of their hands because we were able to put together a couple drives that took quality minutes away from them. So, but when in saying that, I think you also, you know, need to maybe have a big play or two on offense, to kind of solidify it, I guess.
And with Monroe Forsyth, you know, they have the ability for a long time to put up points in a hurry, but they always seem to have that speed that can get to the outside on a rush.
Oh no, they're very fast. I mean, they've got great team speed. That might be the one thing they have maybe that is their best asset. Mm-hmm. And they like to get to the outside. Their quarterback runs the ball really well and throws it, but he's a good runner. And so we'll have to make sure we keep their running backs and the quarterback in check.
And you've had good speed at Auburn for a long time as well. But how, like in practice, how do you go about trying to simulate a certain type of speed?
That's hard. You know, it's hard. I think the good news is they kind of already know it because we got to, you know, experience mm-hmm. it week nine. Some of that stuff is stuff that we've done. We don't do as much of it. And so it's, you do the best you can when you have a scout team and you're running the opponent's stuff.
Looking at your defensive effort from last week's game, you know, you said you'd never been to Chester. I'd say the trip went pretty well.
You know, it did. It's kind of a neat little place there, neat little setup. You know, the field is down kind of like in a gully or, you know, and the fans sit on the hillside. And so it was kind of neat. You know, our defense played extremely well. Defense is playing well right now.
And when
go ahead.
I was just saying, when your defense can go on the road and put up a zero, man, that is huge.
No, it is. And, you know, our offense is more of a ball control offense this year anyway, based on how we perform. And we had some situations where we probably should have scored a couple more times, and we had some penalties and a couple of miscues that kind of put us out of range. But our defense has played solid, really, honestly, played solid since the Athens game.
And, I mean, when you look at the Sangamon Conference, we know that it's tough. But the three teams you lost to are all still playing.
Oh, yeah. No, they're it's very solid. I mean, there's going to be somebody probably that's going to go to the state championship mm-hmm. Or have a real good chance to go. And, you know, it might even be a couple of us. You know, who knows?
And this league, I mean, went 4-1 last week. The only loss was North Mac by a touchdown at Vandalia, who was unbeaten. And we've talked about it over the years. They had the Sangamon Conference. That's why you want a league like you've put together for playoff games like the one coming up.
Well, it's very solid, and I think it seasons you for the playoffs. You know, it just makes you better.
Dave, how has your week of practice gone?
It's gone very well. It's been a little cold, yeah. But it's gone very well. I'm thinking Saturday is going to be maybe the best day of the week, so that's good. But we've had a good, solid week of practice, and, you know, we kind of feel good.
And when you get a game like this on your home field, you want to start fast every game, but especially at home. If you guys can get started fast and get that crowd revved up, boy, is that big.
Momentum's a big thing in football, you know, and keeping it's even a bigger thing. So, you know, we hope we can not make a lot of mistakes and have some big plays and see what happens.
As you kind of look at this game, a couple of things that Auburn needs to do to get the W and move on.
We need to stop their run game. And, you know, with that also stop the explosive play. And then offensively, we just need to control the line of scrimmage and continue to, you know, be able to pound the ball a little bit and then occasionally take a shot at a big one.
That was Auburn head coach Dave Bates as they will host Maroa Forsyth this afternoon at 1:30. The Williamsville Bullets will be hosting the Coin. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff today, and we had the chance to catch up with Bullet head coach Aaron Koontz. We are talking now with Williamsville head coach Aaron Koontz as they get set to take on the DeCoin Indians in the second round of the postseason. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time here. And, you know, playoffs are always exciting, but, boy, the further you go, the better it gets.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's the best time of the year, like I've mentioned before. And you know, every week there's, you know, the bracket that the teams lose half the field. So, you know, there's 16 teams left in 3A, and we're very excited to be one of those.
And we've always talked about that's the difference in the beauty of the football playoffs is every other sport in high school, everybody makes the playoffs. But, man, in football, when you make it, it's a big deal. Then you win one game, and as you said, you're already in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Yeah, with football, you know, every week really matters, not only to get in the playoffs, but then, you know, to get home. You know, we're playing at home again this week, and you know, if we lose a game in a regular season, we're on the road this week. So every week really truly does matter, and that I do think that makes this game really special.
And, of course, your program, you guys are used to being in this game and beyond. So what has the mood at practice been like this week?
I'll tell you honestly, this has been one of the best weeks of the year. And this team just, it's just such a workman-type group. Their mentality is just, let's get it done. You know, Thursday it was cold, and we went out and had a great day. They just don't let they're not letting the elements affect them. And, you know, we've had guys playing one way all year, so everybody physically, you know, they're just not battered down. And so the spirits are high, and I think they feel really good.
And, Coach, that is really a coach's dream when you have a group that really takes ownership of that type of mentality.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's you know, the last 4 weeks of our schedule, you know, we had games with teams that didn't have winning records, and sometimes kids will come and be lackadaisical in those weeks, but these guys truly wanted to get better every week, and that's been their motto all year long, and we've just seen such improvement from these kids individually and as a team. So it's been a special year so far, and you know, our goal is to for sure keep it going.
And when you've built a program with sustained success like you have at Williamsville, the group of kids you have now, they've grown up watching this, and they know exactly what is expected.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, these kids come in as freshmen. You know, they've already had a good JFL experience, and they come in as freshmen, and they just know that they're gonna get in the weight room, and they're gonna do those things, and you know, they know that they're expected to be good, and it takes a lot of work to do that, and they're willing to put in that work because the expectations are so high.
As you've looked at the coin on film, what do you see?
A lot of explosive players, a lot of big play. They've had a lot of big plays with a lot of big playmakers. Big team too, big linemen, and they're well coached. They're doing some really good things, running more tight end than we saw a year ago, and just doing some nice schemes and some good things.
And, you know, Williamsville is a known commodity, but so is DeCoin. Like, when you think about Southern football, a lot of times DeCoin is one of the first names that comes up.
Oh yeah, they've had a lot of runs, and they're always, you know, they're always playoff team. They're always making runs, and you know, I know that their tradition is very high, and they're very excited about this year's team.
You know, a lot of times down there, it's, depending on where you're in the state, there's different styles played in different parts of the state, it seems. But down in the southern part, boy, they like to play that physical, pound you right in the mouth football.
Yeah, you know, they're spreading it out still, but they're doing it with tight ends and blocking backs and, you know, a fullback type player. And yeah, they're definitely going to run the football, but then they also got, you know, they've got the ability to throw it and the receivers to make plays. So they've done a great job.
Are they comparable to any team you saw this year in the Sangamo?
Well, I would say their offense is probably the most like Auburn, with they run a lot of zone schemes with tight ends and blocking backs. And so I would say Auburn, but they're in the gun, they're in the shotgun for 95% of their offense. So Auburn was under center all year, but mm-hmm. Definitely I would say Auburn, both offensively and what they do defensively.
Is it tricky to try to anticipate run when the team's in the shotgun?
No, I think a lot of teams now are in the gun to run the ball because, you know, that it makes it tougher because you have to account for the quarterback almost as a running back. So, yeah, it's a challenge, and, you know, that's why I think a lot of teams have gone to the gun, because the quarterback, you know, makes the true 11th player that you have to account for.
And we know the atmosphere in Williamsville will be off the charts. I know they actually had to implement a rule, I don't know if it was this year or last year, where fans couldn't put their blankets down on the bleachers ahead of time. They have to show up when the gates open. So the anticipation is always great at Williamsville.
It is. It's a great place to be. I've been here. This is my 17th year as head coach, but I've been here since 98, and, you know, I love it here, and it's just people have been so good to me, and I'm blessed.
Coach, for the Bullets to come out victorious against the Coin, couple of keys.
Limit the big play is the biggest key. Make them drive down the field. Limit the big plays, and on offense, take care of the football.
Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes, and good luck today, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, Williamsville head coach Aaron Kuntz. The Bullets will take on the Coin today, 2 o'clock kick in Williamsville. That is it for Sports Saturday. Thanks to Aaron Kuntz and Dave Bates, and also Dave Kane for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. On your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FAM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.